She had not transferred her love to Per, even if they got on so well together, but she had transferred her love to life. It was a cloudy day in September, when the leaves were laying red and golden on the ground outside the cottage. It had been a wearisome day, all the more so as Mother Marta felt uneasy, and aching everywhere. When Per returned home to his cottage with his stomach full of green parsley and perch that he had caught, she felt so tired that she lay down on her bed before starting the washing up. While she was lying there with her eyes closed, she got the idea to look up, and there was Anders. He smiled and reached out his hands to her, and there was a strange light surrounding him. "I have forgotten to wish for death," she thought, while the light round her husband faded and united with the light of dusk in the cottage. "I'm so tired," she told Anders out loud, because she felt him close to her. "I'm so tired that I most of all want to die." The small angels that were flying around her gathered speed in their wings. There was the wish from the old lady again, and this time it would be properly expressed. In a twinkling of an eye, they were up by our Lord. Now he was contentedly nodding, and at once fulfilled the martyr prayer which they had brought. So it came about that the prayer of Mother Marta was at last fulfilled when she fell asleep for good on that autumn day in the light of dusk. I, Jan, knew her. She made the best cheese in the world. But this story was about the prayer. It is a story about how a prayer can follow you for many years and you think that our Lord has not heard it. One day you pray it from the depths of your heart, and then it is fulfilled, if the time is right. Everything happens when it is meant to happen, but not always when we want it to happen. The creative power of thoughts. We are our thoughts. When it comes to meditation, you have to free yourself from thoughts. When it comes to prayer, you must keep track of the thoughts, control them, feel that they are pure and strong, and give them effusion and power. When I asked Tsar how you could keep your thoughts straight, he answered, "You have to enter the garden of thoughts. You will learn how to distinguish between positive and negative thoughts. The important thing is not to give bad thoughts any power. If you become absorbed in your thoughts, you give them power, whichever kind they are. You have the danger with the mass media. They influence thoughts which have not been called into question. Many people are of the opinion that positive thinking is a fashion cliché. Thoughts are creative. We are not aware that we can create negative thought forms which last and embed themselves in our subconscious, only to suddenly pop up like a genie in a bottle when we least need them. This can become destructive. How can you make people understand that?" I wondered. "The hard way, I'm sorry to say," Sharla answered. "Bad experiences that are piled up on top of each other, have a reason. The reason consists of negative thoughts that have become released in actions. One can practice positive thinking. That is not to say that you must be only positive. Do you understand?" I shook my head. I was thinking of kind old Mother Marta and her prayers. If you are feeling negative, you can always ask for help. If humans knew how many invisible angels there are around them in the air, in the room, in nature, they would perhaps feel ashamed and guard their thoughts more. It's all right to ask the angels for help, that's what they are there for. They always listen, and it is their task to carry the prayer further, if necessary. If you are impatient, you must wait longer for fulfillment. To be sure, there is something called karma, too. The law of cause and effect. Many threads are needed to establish a good weave. If you can pray, you can meditate, Tsar usually says. If you cannot do either of those, then just keep on being. In the end, the knowledge will come to you, if not sooner, it will be on the day you are standing on the threshold to the unknown. 20. Who am I? An existential question. Who am I? Why am I me? Will I always remain me? What happens after that? These questions have followed me throughout my life as Jan, and all previous lives. They have sung in the air, they have whistled in the trees, they have rippled in the waves on the lake. They have been lying as a dull whispering in my ears, always and everywhere. They have formed the basis of my books, they have danced hand in hand in the thoughts of Jan the poet. Still a great deal is hidden from my eyes, but yet so much has been revealed to me that I feel dazed, proud, and humble, all at once. I fight here too, but it is the fight of the spiritual warrior and it is holy and loving, not glorious. I still have much to learn, and I enjoy every moment of knowledge and insight that I still can pass on in the form of words. Words to those who want to listen. Words to those who are wondering. In the past, words were just words. Now they are pearls which are part of the jewelry that I present to those who want to read my very words. But who am I? It was my dear friend Kuali who opened the first floodgate. We had been out together on a mission and were sitting chatting in his garden. Then I suddenly and very loudly blurted out, "Who am I?" "That is your question, but also your answer," Kuali said seriously. "If you haven't got the answer yet, you have to examine your heart. Why haven't you got an answer?" "Perhaps I'm afraid to get to know who I really am," I answered thoughtfully. "Maybe all people are afraid of that. But I have been here for so long now, and so many wonderful things have happened, that I ought to know. Why do I still feel such an uncertainty?" We, the Native Americans, sometimes ask ourselves the same question, Kuali answered. "But our answer is obvious. We are the children of the Great Spirit. We are born in love, and to love we shall return. We are the seed that has grown to a flower, and we are the flower that will shed its seed. We are the cycle of nature and the eyes of the Great Spirit." "How beautiful that sounds," I said. "But it does not tell me who I am. I know my origin, but after that? Who am I now?" "The seed existed in the origin," Kuali answered patiently, "but it evolved into what you are, here and now. Here is always now. Can you then figure out who you are?" "I circle between the angels and the master's realms, and I am spirit. My existence is eternal and everlasting. I am unique. How can I be a unique individual and at the same time have an ethereal body? I have experienced the little spark that was sailing around in outer space and which later was created into a physical being by the Great Spirit. Did I become me then or later? I ask again, who am I?" "You are the one you want to be," Kuali answered in a firm tone. "If you stop wondering who you are, and instead accept that you are right now, you will solve the problem. You can give yourself innumerable epithets, and you can be them all at the same time. Good, happy, warm, cold, kind, wise, etc. You can be one of them at a time or all of them simultaneously. Then you are you. You carry the experiences from all your lives as a little energy backpack on your back. They have all contributed to the growing seed. They are yours, nobody else's. You are the sum of all that you have been, from the spark in outer space until now. Is that so difficult to understand?" I mumbled thoughtfully. "Perhaps you are right. Yes, I actually don't think I can contradict you. But then we arrive at the next major and difficult question. Why am I me? Why am I not you or somebody else? Why have just me had my very experiences of life?" "Silly question," Kuali snorted. "Why would you be the sum of somebody else's experiences? Everyone is himself and is in himself. Every soul created by the Great Spirit had its pattern from the beginning. As the souls multiplied, it was already from the beginning so wisely arranged that the patterns were not copied, but were individually characterized. Humans have very different vibrations, and form a special vibratory pattern. That is a kind of subtle and refined aura and it is constant and follows the human from life to life. We used to call it the ethereal original life pattern." "Then how does it look for babies?" I asked. "They hardly have any aura, and even less so they have an imprinted life pattern, haven't they?"
"Certainly they have," Kuali answered, smiling. "The life pattern is embedded into the soul, and even if a baby does not have a full-fledged aura, it is also there. The basic colors are there, even if they are weak, and also various talents. The moment when the soul enters the child differs a lot from individual to individual. When it does, the life pattern around the aura is also characterized. Could it possibly be drawn in some way? I wondered. You mean the same way as, for instance, the priest Edward Warner illustrated and painted chakras? His paintings became models for the images of chakras that are available today. But it is not that easy to reproduce the life pattern. It vibrates and emanates vibrations. Furthermore, it is part of the higher self, and therefore it is included in a kind of protected zone. Why am I me? You wonder. It is because you are alone in having your ethereal original life pattern. It is a stem pattern that declares that you are you. That you have the answer to both your questions. But I have another one, I swiftly pointed out. Will I always remain me wherever I end up, even if I come to another planet? That question is part of the other ones, my friend, Kuali answered. The original pattern or stem pattern is characterized for eternity. You cannot interrupt eternity. You can be merged with the light of the great eternal spirit, but not even then will you lose your identity. For your stem pattern has a memory. It can be turned off, but not obliterated. If you live in one place and move to another one, you are the same person, are you not? Don't confuse the external with the internal. In your original pattern is that life spark that is called the monad by some and the seed by others. Since it can never be lost, you are you forever. Are you happy now? Not too bad, I answered, a bit hesitantly. I suppose I cannot get a better answer. I almost understand, you see. But what happens after that? Now Kuali roared with laughter. You're quite impossible. Boy, he snorted, quite impossible. There is no after that. There is only now. One needs to plan ahead, I protested. The Great Spirit and the Galactic Council do the planning. What is called Nirvana in Hindu and Buddhist philosophy is the merging of the soul into the all, into the now, into eternity, parallel expressions for the final light experience that everybody believes is obliteration and total fusion with, yes, with what? The all? I suggested. Or maybe God. Or the transition to a parallel world, Kuali sighed. There is no total nothingness for the Native Americans. Our immortal soul is active in many worlds and never ceases evolving. Can one evolve to any length? I asked. Can divine creation be destroyed by any process whatsoever? Was his counter question. If Nirvana is the final existence of nothingness, there is no longer any logical axiom for the existence of a creator, because if the Great Spirit exists deep inside the core of our cosmic map, he surely would not be involved with the destruction of the souls. Jan, nothing is final. What you call after that is an active course of events on a high level. After that is power, love, wisdom, three words that belong together. Thank you, Kuali, now I finally understand. I cried out, and embraced him. And accordingly, my most difficult questions were answered. Today, which is now and which includes all time and no time, I work and study in the ethereal world. My soul group is always present and we acquire knowledge together that we later on discuss and sometimes question. We have a very good time, but we worry for our beloved Mother Earth. Several of us remain working there, and they don't send us good news. We want to see the Earth thrive and seethe with life and joy. I have dictated this book for the ordinary human being who is striving to protect Earth as well as he or she can. I want to open your eyes to how things are, or can be, on the other side of what you call death. But I also want to inform you of all the help that is within your reach at times when Earth is in real danger. Those who rule the world only have power and profit in mind, and they do not show consideration for the ordinary human being. She is sacrificed in many situations. And the ordinary human being is scared. She does not dare disturb the guardians of power. War, violence, and disease are spreading across the beautiful surface of the Earth. No one dares suffocate the evil. You, who want to, can reach us through prayer and meditation. We have no right to go against your free will, and as long as you don't speak out, we have to assume that your free will rules the world. We don't intend to persuade you to rethink. It must come from yourselves. We have talked a lot about the power of thought in this book, how thought can create both positive and negative. That is no exaggeration, no pure invention. Try, and you will see. But you must be concentrated or nothing will happen. I, Jan, have told you what has happened to me right from the beginning, when I was only a small dot of cosmic energy. I am not asking you to believe me. Maybe somebody else has written about life on this side in a way you prefer. Well, you see, I am telling you with my words and with my perception. Another writer may tell you something completely different because the spirit, giving him inspiration, has experienced other things and finds other words to describe them with. Kuali mentioned that my reality is not yours, it is unique and individual. Then I point out that you certainly should listen inwardly, to your intuition, to that voice which gives you warnings and advice in your inner self. Remember that life is not only that which you live on earth now. Life is to an even higher degree that which you meet on the other side of the golden portal. If there was no mass media, you would perhaps not believe that there are countries on earth with exotic fruits, hula hula dance, and cultures so different from your own. Not until you travel there would you, to your surprise, discover different ways of living and other customs than the ones you know about. You love your body and you don't want to part from it, do you? It is only the withered, worn out part that falls off when you die. Everything else is still there. You get a new and more comfortable body, you have youth and vigor and good health, and you can think and feel just as well as before. No, in fact, better. You don't fly around on angels' wings, tooting on a trumpet when you get here. We work here, but we work with things that we enjoy doing. Furthermore, you get both help and appreciation. You need not miss anything, least of all money. So, why are you afraid of death? Not one single day since I came here have I missed the night. Not for a moment have I wanted to return. You can have the dubious joy of returning to Earth to reincarnate, if you like. But you can also work with your near and dear ones from here, provided you don't control them, or interfere in their own will. Here you have possibilities at your disposal that you would not even dream of. You call Earth a school. It is a difficult and problematic school, with good and bad classes. Sometimes the pupils are so many that there is no classroom. Then the pupils must wander around. Then they are stricken with diseases and starvation. It might seem like an unfair school, but the Great Spirit is never unfair. He is love. Humans forget that when they suffer, but they suffer in order to learn. They themselves have chosen to go down to earth and suffer. Each of you has, yourself, chosen your time, your surroundings, your talents, and your karma. If you give up, you just have to do it again. But just as well as you have the ability to create a miserable life, you can create a good life. It depends on you yourself, on your thoughts. So hurry up now and guide your thoughts the right way, to joy, love, friendship, success, fellowship, and much more. I won't say farewell, I say au revoir. And then you may interpret it as you like. Maybe I will write another book, or else I will stand here in the gateway, waving my hand when you have passed the border. I don't worry about the future, since it does not exist. The future is the same as the Emperor's new clothes. The now is eternal and wonderful. Every second is a flower, a ray of joy and hope. Imagine that every day is a new miracle. See the sun, even when the sky is gray. It is there behind the clouds, as sure as you are standing there watching. You are standing on an earth that radiates with the glittering light of the stars. You are looking at stars that are reflections of your own inner light. You are the extended arm of the Great Spirit on earth. You are the one who rakes your path, cultivates your soil, and looks after your sick mother. Your gift to earth is you, yourself. You are a part of it, and that's why you must feel well. You feel well when you want to be happy and joyous, because you want that, don't you? Otherwise the sun vanishes into the clouds and the stars get dirty by the ashes from your grief. Then you must know this, Earth does not belong to man. It is man that belongs to Mother Earth. Dear human being, you carry a proud and brilliant secret, You are a direct descendant of the people of the sun and the stars. The cosmic map, explanation and guidance. The cosmic map, at the beginning of this book, rests on the starry sky. The planets of our galaxy can be found there, as well as a few constellations. The outer ring, 1, on the map is called Universal Worlds. It contains several different realms, but we have chosen to mention only two of them by their name, the realms of idols and the realms of darkness. The idols that have existed from time immemorial, and who have been worshipped under many names by humans, have their own worlds. It means that they still exist in their own surroundings without the influence of humans. We don't know very much about them, except that their names are to be found in the history books. There, however, it is not stated that these idols weren't the invention of human brains, but that they really existed and appeared as powers or energies in the human world through the ages. Some of the idols were created by the thoughts of humans. These idols still remain in the realms of idols, like shadows in eternity. The others, the strong, the well-known, those who even today have their worshippers, are still alive and working. We would rather not dwell upon the realms of darkness. We have enough of their powers on earth. They are the realms that Lucifer created in his first wrath against the Great Spirit, something that he bitterly repented of later on. They got beyond his control and reached an extent that he couldn't handle. But they are still there and their realms must be mentioned. The next circle, 2, contains the No Man's World. It is the transition realm for souls where everyone arrives after the crossing, whether they immediately pass by or stay there for a while. As you see, there are tunnels from Earth directly to the No Man's World. This is where souls wander around until they find their goal. They are never alone. They have help from millions of angels. If they want to proceed, they are immediately carried further on. Those who are confused and refuse to believe they are dead stay there until they, of their own free will, wish to move on. What is called purgatory and hell in the Bible is included in the gigantic domain of the No Man's World. These states exist in various forms, which are all aimed at allowing the souls to reside in the surroundings they themselves create around themselves, until they awaken to the possibility of further development. For instance, those souls who on earth were infiltrated with money transactions get to continue forever with such activities until, one day, they discover the emptiness and meaninglessness in their doings. Criminals are allowed to continue with their crimes in a one-sided way until they get tired of it and want to change their situation. Murderers get to experience the darkness until they roar of longing for light. But directly contrary to the menacing prophecies of the Bible, these servants of darkness get constantly recurring confrontations with the angels of light. We really respect those angels who have taken on the difficult task of trying to change these humans who are tightly holding on to their old miserable selves. They all get this chance to return to the light. Nobody is too bad to deserve help and positive changes. The average people, that is, those who neither believe nor doubt and who during their lifetime seldom give themselves a chance to think about the secret of life. Well, what happens to them? It varies, depending on their unique selves and voluminous egos. But they are usually exposed to situations that make them react and start to consider. Soon there are helpful angels at hand. And forgiveness is always nearer than you think. After that we arrive in the astral world, 3. So much has already been told about that world in this book that further explanations are probably not required. Here are healthcare, schools, science and research, children and animals, dreams, art and music, along with the Akashic records, which recount the personal development of every human being during all her lives. The hospitals take care of people who don't understand that they were released from their illness when they died. They cannot accept this. Some souls need mental help. Next to the astral world is the nature world, 4. It is inhabited by all kinds of elementals, and it watches over nature on earth. Among the beings of nature are included what you call legendary beings, who lived quite physically and tangibly thousands of years ago and who still remain in fairy tales and narratives of most ancient cultures. There we find, for example, goblins, fairies, giants, trolls, gnomes, the water sprite, their wood nymph, mermaids, and other little people. The one who in present time has seen Santa Claus does not doubt that the fairy tale has a real background. There are also trustworthy people who have seen fairies, giants, and trolls in the Nordic forests. The author has met many of them. Parallel worlds and incarnation worlds, 5, are one step further towards the center of the map. It is not possible to go into them in more detail, since they are unimaginably numerous and far too complicated to be able to be explained in a simple way. They are parallel to each other and have at the same time many dimensions. They are bound together with each other in a pattern, which is not visible to human eyes. The ethereal world, 6, that follows next is described in detail in this book. It is only divided into two realms. The angelic realm and the realm of the masters, which are gigantic conclaves in the enormous musical composition created by the Great Spirit. These realms are the seats of honor of beauty, love, and wisdom, and the human being who can directly start her journey there from her crossing is fortunate. The world of the Elohim, 7, is also beyond our comprehension. We only know that the Elohim work throughout our galaxy and that they are involved in the Galactic Council. The world of the Seraphim, 8, is nearest to the Great Spirit. Seraphim are a kind of angel variant. The seraphs are masters of music. Their wonderful tone torrents frame the highest godhead in our galaxy. The seraphs move rhythmically in a cosmic dance that does not resemble what we would associate with the word dance. They sing, but so do the angels. Song and music are an everyday part of life in the higher spheres. The light that emanates from the innermost godhead, the Great Spirit, is a love light, and in it is also the tone, the original tone clang, the one which created for the Creator. The innermost core needs no explanation, it is. The cosmic map does not claim to be the only true one, quite the opposite. Every cosmic idea has its own reality, and every human being takes in what she feels is right. The purpose of the cosmic map is only to create a simpler image than those shown in the old books. The map is the formation that I, Jan, have learned in the angels' school and that I am anxious to pass on to a physical level. Man has her free will and has therefore the right to acquire knowledge that appeals to her without being indoctrinated by something she feels is wrong. The original meaning of colors. There are 7 basic colors that correspond to the colors of the rainbow. White can be used in all areas, because all colors derive from white. Red stimulates blood circulation and increases body temperature. It helps fatigue, cold shivers, anemia, and colds. Red is stimulating, and therefore a suitable color to use for depression. Orange helps the digestion and is useful for stimulating the distribution and circulation processes in the body. Good for disturbances in the spleen. It is used for kidney diseases, but also eases bronchitis and other lung diseases. Orange provides physical energy and mental stimulation and is used to alleviate inhibition and repression. Yellow facilitates the digestive process and has a secreting effect on the liver and intestines and also cleans the whole system. From a mental health point of view, yellow is as stimulating as sunshine. The yellow color eases worn down nerves, stress, skin problems, constipation, and liver problems. It is advantageous to be surrounded by yellow if you are diabetic. Green has a constructive effect. Sick cells can be neutralized and rebuilt with green. Green is good for normalizing blood pressure and helps the heart to work properly. It is also good for headaches and colds. Blue slows down infectious diseases and has an antiseptic effect. Psychologically, this color gives peace and calms the nerves. Blue eases throat problems and can be used for all childhood illnesses. It is also good for inflammation, spasms, insect bites, itching, headaches, insomnia, and menstrual pain. Indigo, a combination of deep blue and a touch of red, controls the pineal gland and cleans the blood. It is used for all eye diseases and nose and ear problems. Good for lung diseases and asthma. Indigo is an excellent complement to the other colors. Violet, relaxing and soothing for the nerves.